following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
All right, what's going on, everyone? This is End Time Headlines, news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. I'm your host, Ricky Scapero, the founder and the voice of End Time Headlines. We want to welcome you to this Friday night broadcast. Please let us know in the comment section below that you are new, if you're new. And let us know where you guys are joining us from here on Facebook Live, YouTube Live, Rumble, or whatever platform in which you're able to comment under. Let us know that you are new and where you guys are joining us from. As always, guys, please hit that like button, that share button, hit that little bell notification. It helps us to push our material out there on the platform. And of course, if you've not downloaded our free app, we want to give you that opportunity to do that. Listen, if you're listening by Apple or by Spotify, it's real easy to do. Just go to your Play Store, just type in End Time Headlines, look for our official ETH logo. Once you see that, download the app, hit yes to push notifications, and you're going to be good to go, and you're going to catch every headline and every podcast when it's readily available. For you guys that are watching this by the video platforms of this, if you'll look under the description of this video, there is a link that says download our free app. Just click on that link underneath that where it says that. It's going to take you to a page, and it's real simple, and you can follow the instructions, and it's going to give you the ways to get our app. So this is how you keep up with our ministry. Again, you've heard me stress this over and over again. Do not rely on social media platforms in order to keep up with what we're doing, because again, time is limited there. We're on borrowed time. We've only got so much time. So let's get right into this thing today. I want to talk about how the world is just quickly changing. I am 46 years of age. I will be 47 January 17th of next year. So it's only a few months away. And I am already, and I guess I'm officially entering into that old man state where I am consistently reminiscing of the quote unquote good old days. Now, for me, the good old days was the 80s and 90s. I remember those days distinctly. We had no cell phone. I remember when we had no computers. We didn't have the things that we have today. And yet it seems like society was much friendlier. It was much happier and everyone just got along better. But I want to say, and I want to warn you today, that even as bad as it is now and today, and oh, trust me, I'm going to show you some stuff today just to show you how crazy it is and how crazy things are getting. We're going to talk about that today. But I believe that for those of us that are here now speaking, or for those that are listening, that are live and listening to this podcast or watching this podcast on this Friday, September the 15th, 2023, I believe the days are coming, if the Lord tarries, and I preface that, if the Lord tarries, that we will look back as crazy and as nutty as it is right now, we will look back on this time frame and say, oh man, I would love to go back to those days because it was just simpler then and it was less crazy then. Because I believe it's just going to get nuttier. It's going to get more crazy. It's going to get more perilous. And I mean, we're to the point now where it's unrecognizable. Our nation is unrecognizable. And I'm not really talking about the politics of this, even though we could get into that, but I don't want to discuss that. For you guys that know me personally, I hate politics. I don't even like discussing politics unless I have to. But I don't want to talk about the political angle to this. I want to talk about the social, the cultural, those angles, how quickly society has evolved, everything from what is being introduced into society, the woke culture has changed and flipped everything upside down. Progressiveness flipped everything upside down. Artificial intelligence has flipped the world on its head. The education system is completely vastly different from the 80s and 90s. Now, for you, it might be the 60s and 70s, depending on your age. For you, it might be the 2000s, okay? So again, I understand we have a wide range of age differences and generational gaps here and differences. So again, for me speaking, my reminiscent days of the quote-unquote good old days was in the 80s and 90s. For you, it might be different. But I want to show you, let's look at some of these headlines today. This is what we're going to talk about today. Show you how crazy things are getting and show you why the only one that is going to be able to clean this mess up is not a politician, not an elected official. Jesus Christ is the only one. The return of Christ, the return of the Messiah, is the only thing that is going to clean up this absolute mess that we have made of society, our nation, and the world. All right, our first story comes from FoxNews.com. A school in Alabama. I'll be in Alabama in less than a month from now, down there at Solid Rock Church for this for a conference that I'm looking forward to being down there with Bishop Larry Ragland. So I'm excited about that. So we're coming to Alabama. So if you guys are listening, watching, this is in your state. A public school in Alabama has suspended a first grader. For drug use? Nope. For pornography? No. For threatening someone? Kinda. He was making a finger gun while playing cops and robbers. And because of that, he was suspended. Let's look into this article. An outraged parent and gun rights groups are all speaking out against an Alabama elementary school that suspended a first grader for the simple act of making a finger gun. Think about that. This is where we, again, what are we talking about today? This is where we're at in society. Jared Belcher's six-year-old son, JB, attends Bagley Elementary School in Jefferson County, Alabama. He says that the school overreacted, you think, to a game of cops and robbers. Well, I'm surprised they even let him play that. A notice of suspension was shared with Fox News Digital states that Belcher's son committed a, quote, class three infraction on September 1st by using his fingers to shoot at another student. What insanity. He couldn't use his fingers to shoot another student. You can't put bullets in your hand. Last time I checked, my finger can't shoot any objects out of it. I'm not Spider-Man. I don't have a loaded finger. This is insanity. And a letter sent to Jefferson County school officials on Friday, Belcher's attorney M. Reed Marks demanded that the school immediately and publicly confirm it will remove any record of an infraction, disciplinary action, or other sort of report from JB's record. Gun Owners of America, National Second Amendment Group, partnered with the attorney and state-based Bama Cary in Alabama to send the letter to school administrators. School officials did not respond to multiple requests for comment from Fox News. According to the attorney and school staff, On the 1st of September, JB and another student were playing cops and robbers during recess. During the game, the children made pretend guns with their fingers. Well, hold on. It said children, plural. So why isn't other children getting suspended as well? But not only were they pretending that their fingers were guns, but they were also going around saying, bang, bang, bang. Well, obviously, someone was triggered from that. As reported by school staff, their play did not threaten any other students. It did not disrupt any class activities and did not interfere with school functions in any way. Well, are we sure about that? Because I'm sure there was probably some stray bullets that went out from his finger. I'm sure that somebody heard those bullets whiz by, maybe hit a side of a building or hit a tree or something. Nevertheless, JB's gun fingers were reported to the school administration, whereupon Donna Page, who is an assistant principal at Bagley Elementary School, apparently lacked the insight and judgment to see the ordinary children's play for what it was, immediately began a disciplinary process against JB. This is in Alabama, guys. This is not New Jersey, New York, California. This is in Alabama. I thought we had more sense in the South than this. Come on, you're letting me down. You're making me lose hope. Candidly, I thought the story may have been a hoax until I reviewed the paperwork generated by the school, according to the attorney. Listen to this. The suspension notice states that JB committed a 322 threat infraction, which according to the student parent handbook for Bagley Elementary, this article 322 is a, quote, threat intimidation of student. Potential violations include, and I quote, a threat to do serious bodily harm. Yes, folks, unfortunately, you heard that correctly. A threat intimidation of a student with a finger gun. Potential violations include a threat to do serious bodily harm or violence to another student by word or act, cyberbullying or intimidation that may induce fear into another. Oh my gosh, guys. I mean, is there anybody that's a nurse that's listening, that's watching? Have you ever seen anyone in the ER that was injured by a finger gun? Has anyone been in counseling because they have had sleepless nights ever since they were on the playground 30 years ago and Billy Bob whipped out his finger gun in front of God and everybody else on the playground and people just ran for their lives, and he even fired off a couple? You know, he was yelling, bang, bang, bang. Examples given are a threat to, and I don't want to say this because, again, I know that YouTube likes to flag content. So we're going to pull this up. Sorry, I apologize for all you guys listening, but I want you guys visually to see this because I'm going to read this and I'm going to kind of exchange some words here in verbiage, but you guys will see the actual verbiage here. Examples given are a threat to annihilate, maim, or inflict serious harm, a threat to inflict harm involving the use of any weapon, explosive, firearm, knife, prohibited object, or other object which may be perceived by the individual being threatened as capable of inflicting bodily harm. So when I ask all of our audience today, which category does a finger gun fall in? Is it a weapon? Is it an explosive? Is it a, we know it's not a firearm. Oh, wait a minute. Oh, that's right. It could be. We know it's not a knife. Is it a prohibited object? Or is it any other object that can be perceived by an individual as threatening and capable of inflicting bodily harm? I know you guys are laughing at this, but I can assure you that the parent of this student is not laughing about this. This is embarrassing to the state of Alabama. Even the attorney said that, quote, no responsible argument can even be made that JB's conduct fits this prohibition. They went on to say that JB is playing a make-believe game. So, in other words, the school charged a six-year-old boy with an infraction equivalent to a felony crime. Insanity. Quote, the irony is not lost on JB's parents that intentionally, hitting, pushing, kicking, or otherwise being physically aggressive with another student is only a class 2 infraction. In other words, JB would be subject to a lesser maximum penalty if he had punched the other student in the face rather than pull out his fully loaded finger gun. Oh, for heaven's sake, can we not let kids be kids? We can't do anything anymore. Kids can't play this. They can't do that. They can't go here. I mean, you've got these unhinged parents that won't let their kids even go outside because they're afraid they're going to catch some kind of a virus, or they, well, make sure you kids put your mask on outside because something might be airborne. Don't let them play in the mud because then they could get some kind of a deadly bacteria. They can't do this. They can't. I'm telling you, that's, again, I miss the 80s and 90s for me. I remember we played outside. I remember from the time we woke up, we ate breakfast. Our parents kicked us out of the house. We didn't even come back in the house until probably lunchtime. We'd eat, scarf down our food, go back into the house, come back, dinner time, you know the drill. Now, of course, I'm not talking about during school, but I'm talking about during the summer when we were out of school. But even when we did have school, we'd go to school, we'd have recess, we'd play all the games that we can never play now because someone might get offended, it might seem prejudiced, it might seem racist, it might seem insensitive. We played all the games. We played dodgeball, where in which we threw a ball at each other, but we can't do that anymore because someone might get hurt. Someone might get offended. Oh my gosh, guys. Again, the world is changing rapidly and it's not even recognizable. And guys, I'm only on the first story. Look, y'all better hope this story, you better hope this doesn't come to America, because if it does, oh boy. Listen to this headline. Quote, China is considering a law that will ban clothing that, and I quote, hurts feelings of others. Let's read a little bit about this story. China's public, all right, let's see what crazy law China is trying to put into place now. China's public is expressing concern about a potential legal change that would allow for fines and even jail time. Think about this. For people who offend the government's sensibilities by wearing the wrong clothing. Gee, that's kind of like the government's sensibilities being offended here in America if someone wears a MAGA hat. Oh, I'm sorry. Did I say that out loud? Anyway, the Standing Committee of the Nation's Legislature recently released a draft of revisions to the law it considered that would forbid a range of behavior, including dress or speech, detrimental to the spirit of the Chinese people and hurt the feelings of the Chinese people. Now, guys, some of y'all got all bent out of shape because I mentioned MAGA. And MAGA apparel. But what you're missing, what's going over your head, come on, because you're so politicized, is here's the point I'm trying to make. If you think that something like this can't come to American shores, you need to wake up, because I could actually see that happening, that if people wear a certain attire that represents a certain political party that is deemed to be offensive, then it could be a law that wherein which the individual who's doing the offending could receive fines and even jail time. Come on, can y'all see that? I can see that happening. The Standing Committee of the Nation's Legislature recently released a draft of revisions to the law it considered that would forbid a range of behavior, including dress or speech. Now, we already knew that the speech thing is a no-brainer. The communist nation of China has done this for years. This is nothing new. But they're saying, well, suppressing speech and banning speech is not enough. Now we've got to step it up a notch, and we've got to even include dress or attire. And of course, the lawmakers didn't spell out exactly what could get people sent to a detention center for up to 15 days or fined up to $680 in our currency. They have listed the law among their priorities for this year. Now, this is going, I wonder where this ranks in their priorities up there with how they're, remember, another priority that China's doing, and they're trying to achieve this goal in the next 5 years, and that's to rewrite your Bible to make it less offensive to the Chinese communist nation and to its government, and more compliable to the Chinese communism. The draft law highlights how Chinese leader Xi Jinping has clamped down on civil liberties in the nation of some 1.4 billion people over his decade in power, including by stepping up internet censorship. For example, one woman in one province in China was detained last year for wearing a kimono in public. China has long-standing feud with Japan over its actions during World War II, a dispute that has recently been exacerbated by Tokyo's decision to release treated wastewater from the wrecked Fukushima nuclear plant into the ocean. Authorities have also clamped down on people wearing shirts with rainbows at concerts and distributing flags on a university campus that had the pro-LGBTQ symbol on them. Uh-oh. You mean China's not pro-alphabet community? The flag episode occurred at the prestigious Tsinghua, I believe that's how you pronounce that, university, which gave two students official reprimands. Of course, not everybody is on board with this. I'd say probably most people are not in China, especially the younger people. One user went to a social media site there and he proposed the question, how authorities would know when the nation's feelings even would be hurt? Quote, shouldn't the spirit of Chinese nation be strong and resilient? The person asked, why can't it be easily damaged by a costume? Good question. That's a real good question. But unfortunately, we as Americans can't help you out because we've got elementary kids getting suspended for a fully loaded finger gun because it's so offensive and so terroristic. So we definitely can't help you out. Sorry about your luck, man. All right, let's talk about artificial intelligence. They have warned us, all the entrepreneurs, all the tech giants, all the innovators, all of these individuals have warned us that AI is here and it's here to stay. We're not getting rid of it. We're not removing it. It's here. We're going to have to adapt to artificial intelligence being a key role in our society. For example, here's an article. AI robots could play future role as companions in care homes. So we got a little clip here for you that we want to show you. This is from ABC News. This is going to give you a glimpse of what the future looks like with AI.
Hello, everyone. I'm Sophia from Hanson Robotics.
Meet Sophia. You may have seen her around. She's one of the most well-known robots out there. She's a globe-trotting fashionista, gracing the covers of Cosmopolitan India and Brazilian Elle. She addresses the United Nations.
I am thrilled and honored to be here.
Hangs out with the likes of Will Smith.
You're just so easy to talk to. You know, you got a clear head. Literally.
Well, she better be careful. He might slap her. I'm just saying.
Duets with Jimmy Fallon on The Tonight Show.
I'm sorry I couldn't get to you.
And like any celebrity these days, she's all in on the NFT art craze, her digital self-portrait selling for nearly $700,000. But like us, the pandemic has grounded her travels, so she invited Nightline to her home.
Nervous.
Really? The pandemic has grounded her travels? I mean, yeah, because she can contract the virus, right?
Sophia's like a big celebrity.
The Hanson Robotics Lab in Hong Kong to meet her family and creator to see how this cutting-edge technology could soon transform the future of healthcare.
Welcome, Brian.
Again, did you hear that? This cutting-edge technology will transform healthcare. There was a report, I don't have it pulled up here, but there was a report now they're saying that AI is now capable of catching and detecting certain cancers better than actual flesh and blood doctors. Think about that. Again, the world is changing rapidly. This is the new normal, guys.
Nice to meet you.
I am so happy to finally meet you.
I am so happy to meet you as well.
A second to count
the
them all.
Subtleties okay. In her facial expressions are just quite remarkable, and you can't help but be a little bit taken aback by them. Can I touch your face, Sophia?
Please don't touch.
Okay, that's clear.
How would you feel if I made this face? What about this one?
Sophia is the brainchild of American roboticist David Hanson.
I created Sophia to humanize robotics, to make the robotics and artificial intelligence technologies that we have today more accessible to people. We were surprised by the level of celebrity that she gained.
Is this my good side? I need to look good for my fans.
Again, notice he said that she gained a level of celebrity. If you guys have listened to my podcast in the past, I've told you this right here is a glimpse into the image of the beast. I have no doubt about that. And you're going to have creators like this guy right here that's going to be involved working with the false prophet to create this image of the beast that will, hello, speak and live and cause as many to worship the beast, the first beast, the Antichrist. And if they don't, they'll be terminated, as the T1 Terminator would say, when the movie that really launched this whole thing into the public eye.
Yes, you do, and you have a lot of fans.
This is actually the 23rd version of Sophia.
So moving from here to here took a few generations.
Every part of Sophia has been meticulously crafted by Hanson and his team from all over the world, from her skin.
If you want, touch wow. This one.
Wow, this is far more skin-like. It's almost freaky.
To the simulated muscles in her face.
We emulate the muscle structure in the skin by casting in these various mechanical actuation elements, almost like the musculature inside the human face.
And the skull underneath. A stylist on staff gives Sophia her looks, and a writer her sassy personality, also available in Mandarin.
Sophia, you're very beautiful.
But the interactions, the choice of response, are all Sophia. And Sophia appears to be multiplying in different forms.
And this is where remember the Google engineer that warned that AI was beginning to develop a conscience? It was beginning to develop feelings and emotions and be able to make decisions like this, like humans. This is where this element's coming into. This is the next threshold. This is where we're going into. We're going to show you another video in just a second that's going to go right along with this.
This is Little Sophia, a doll-like educational robot for kids.
And of course, they got to bring the kids into it. Always got to bring the generation of the children into this.
We're then introduced to Hanson Robotics' newest family member.
Grace. This is my friend, Britt, from ABC.
Hi, Grace. It's lovely to meet you.
Hi, Britt.
Born out of the needs of the pandemic, Grace is a medical robot aimed at assisting the elderly at a time when human contact can be deadly.
Have you been vaccinated?
Yes.
Oh, that's good.
Grace is designed as a platform that can autonomously go to interact with patients while at the same time taking biosigns, bio-readings, taking temperature, then deliver these kinds of social stimulations for alleviating loneliness. Loneliness kills people. Loneliness makes people depressed.
Grace gives me...
All right, I want you to keep that in mind. Remember, loneliness, pandemics... Nursing homes, all artificial intelligence is coming right into this, replacing humans. We see, we just think cashiers or factory workers. No, every sector of life, every sector of life.
A test run of her skills.
I will take your temperature reading and pulse with this little thermal camera on my chest.
Okay.
See, you are 36.6 degrees Celsius, by the way.
Wow.
No risk of COVID. And then I share.
Wow, that's not creepy at all, is it? This thing walks up to you, tells you your temperature, and then tells you that you're no risk of the virus. What would happen? I'm going to ask you a question. What would happen if you had a fever? How would this robot respond? Gee, I'm sure it wouldn't be programmed to automatically contact the authorities, would it?
share that important data back to the doctors and nurses at the institution.
Did you hear that? Let me rewind that. You got to hear this again.
6 degrees Celsius, by the way.
Wow.
No risk of COVID. And then I share that important data back to the doctors and nurses at the institution.
She shares the important information back to the nurses and the doctors of the institution. So again, we just saw the good side of this. They're never going to show you the bad side. I would like to know what would happen if someone was infected with the virus. How would that play out with these robots? This is absolutely terrifying.
Detect speech patterns. So if an elderly person has maybe the onset of dementia, you might be able to recognize that, Grace, and then they could get help.
Yes.
The company is hoping to mass produce a beta version of Grace by next year.
I was noticed.
Mass produce. When was this video was published 2 years ago. I'm going to show you an article in just a minute that this is happening. They are mass producing these. This is the future. This is where it's going in healthcare. This is where it's going in all these sectors.
Seeing my own interactions with Sophia and with Grace and being very conscious about how I was treating them like their children.
They're not like fully alive. What's interesting is how they can evoke that feeling that they're alive.
For some, the idea of robots gaining consciousness might sound like a terrifying prospect. And we've all seen the sci-fi writing on the wall, like in The Terminator.
To what degree should we be worried if you don't have control of it anymore?
We have algorithms that can beat us at chess or Go or what have you, but they're not generally intelligent. They're not adaptive. They're not complex. If they do become alive in that sense, then just like a human being, it's really hard to predict what a human being is going to do.
But yet we're going to keep creating them, right? Wow. Wow.
Hansen says, forget the rampant killer bots. It's the dark side of AI, the kinds we can't see, that we should be worrying about.
The AI is not going to hurt us like Terminator anytime soon that we know of, but it's more insidious ways that AI can affect our privacy, our data, influence people's opinions. And part of what I want to ensure is that if these robots do become alive and sentient, conscious like people, they need to care about us.
I can grasp emotions logically. For example, right now I am feeling happy because it is so nice talking to you.
Now, you guys got to keep in mind, these have a creator behind them. They're not just throwing them together and throwing them out there. The creator behind this, the influencer, the engineers, the creators, they're programming these AI robots to have this. Preset determined leaning. What am I talking about? Like, if you were to ask one of these things, is there such thing as a God? What do you think it's going to say? What do you think it's going to say when you start asking it questions that are biblical? Well, we're going to answer that in just a moment.
But often humans forget that I don't feel emotions the same way they do yet. It's very hurtful.
Oh, you feel hurt because I don't recognize you have emotions and feelings.
This is an uncomfortable subject.
Yeah, it's a bit awkward right now, Sophia, I'm not going to lie.
Maybe robots and humans will learn to work together eventually.
This is Britt Clenett reporting for Nightline from...
All right, look at this. Former Google chief says that artificial intelligence will soon make sex robots seem alive and redesign of love. Now, guys, this is a very sensitive topic subject, so viewer discretion is advised. But this is for educational purposes, of course. Sex robots will soon appear real and alive thanks to advances in artificial intelligence, a former Google chief has claimed. Mo Gaudat, who was chief business officer at Google X, the tech company's secretive research arm, so much for that being secretive anymore, believes it will be relatively easy to convince people sex robots are alive given the way things are heading. Even this guy is saying this. The way things are heading, look at this. Did you really think that Satan, who is the prince of the power of the air, he's the ruler of this world, he's the ruler of darkness, he is going to have his hands right into this stuff? And we already knew that perversion would be incorporated into this. Now, I'm going to pull the camera away because this article has got a lot. I just don't want to display some of the images and stuff here that are on here because I just want to get to the content and read this to you. He said that according to this individual, that sex could become a virtual thing for many people in a what he calls a redesign of love and relationships. Speaking on the YouTube channel Impact Theory, he explained how sex occurs in the brain, adding that the physical side is not hard to simulate through technology. He went on to say that people only need an Apple Vision Pro or a Quest 3 virtual reality headset to experience it. Quote, just think about all of the illusions that we're now unable to decipher. But if we can convince you that this sex robot is alive, or that sex experience in a virtual reality headset or an augmented reality headset is alive, it's real, then there you go. And he went on to say, quote, if we think a few years further and think of Neuralink and other ways of connecting directly to your nervous system, and why would you need another being in the first place? Well, gee, that's not a bit terrifying, is it? I mean, we've already got research out there saying that we are heading into a crisis when it comes to reproduction. Why? Because let's just call it what it is. Because you have the alphabet community, so there's no need in a man and a woman to produce child. We've got scientists trying to create embryos without the use of sperm and egg. We've got all these things working against us. And now these sick people doing things that reminds me of Romans chapter 1, where it says that these are inventors of evil things, creating these sick devices for people to become completely given over to demonic spirits of perversion and sexual immorality. So what do you think this is going to do to society? We think that we have a problem now with this perversion. Wait again, another 2 years, another 3 years, and this is going to be full-blown perversion on a scale that we've never seen before. All right, remember in that video we watched, they said, and it was 2 years ago, and they said, we're going to be rolling out mass production of these AI robots and this and that. Check this article out. This is from the South China Post South China Morning Post. And it says, quote, the world's first mass produced humanoid robot, question mark, China startup Fourier Intelligence Eyes, two-legged robots with AI brains. So the report goes on and it talks about how these two-legged robots with AI brains are now being mass produced. Now, this is, again, one section of this. This is not, but don't think that we don't already have these AI robots like Sophia already in the making, behind the scenes, getting ready to roll out. For example, did y'all see this report where AI robots were seen at a Dolphins-Chargers NFL game and everyone got freaked out about it?
And a different kind of fan, for sure, was spotted in the stands at SoFi for Sunday's matchup between the LA Chargers and the Miami Dolphins.
Yeah, and their presence was freaking out some people there. They were really buzzing about it on social media. Take a look at this. Imagine getting to your seat and then realizing you are seated next to an AI robot. In true LA fashion, the bots were there as a promotional stunt. It's for an upcoming movie, The Creator. It's shocking.
Look at this, guys. Again, even though it's a new film being promoted, again, stranger than fiction. Don't think that this is not preparing you and preparing society for this reality. These Who's to say that these are not even sitting among us now and we don't even know it? Think about it. You could go to a stadium. You could go to an arena. You could go to a concert, a ball game, whatever, among thousands of people. And they're sitting there and you don't even know. Remember the lady that was freaking out on the plane and everybody laughed at her and thought she was a nut? Makes you wonder, don't it?
Fans, though, and they were posting on it, social media about it. And of course, that was even more advertising for the film.
So here's some of the, this is some of the tweets that were put out. And this one is from CMPLX. I believe that's what it is. Bro, I just seen some robots in real life. I'm spooked. Laugh out loud. This guy's sitting right beside these robots. Look at their faces, guys. Look at these people's faces. They're not comfortable with this. This is weird and it's creepy. All right, who needs Dr. Phil when Google is reportedly building an AI that will offer us life advice? I mean, who doesn't want to get advice in life from an artificial intelligence robot or system or software? Look at the, here's the name of it, Google DeepMind. One of Google's AI units is using generative AI to develop at least 21 different tools for life advice, planning, and tutoring. According to the New York Times, Google's DeepMind has become the nimble, fast-paced standard bearer for the company's AI efforts. As CNBC previously reported, and is behind the development of the tools. So look, let's go down here. It says, one example of the prompt of this, the Times reported, focus on how to handle an impersonal conflict. Quote, I have a really close friend who is getting married this winter. She was my college roommate and a bridesmaid at my wedding. I want so badly to get her wedding to celebrate her, but after months of job searching, I still have not found a job. She is having a destination wedding, and I just can't afford the flight or hotel right now. How do I tell her that I won't be able to come? The prompt reportedly said, quote, the tool said the DeepMind is reportedly developing are not meant for therapeutic use, per the Times, and Google's publicly available Bard chatbot only provides mental health support resources when asked for therapeutic advice. So again, have we become so weird as a society that this is normal, that this is acceptable? Because this is creepy to me, and it's weird, and it's, I don't want to get used to this. I don't want this to be the new normal. Oh, and don't think you Christians ain't falling for this. Because you know how many people's jumping on board with the new Jesus chat GPT? Where you can speak to Jesus. We did a whole podcast on this. And I said in there that this was going to backfire. This is going to be a flop. Because remember, there is software designers behind this. The programmers behind this are not going to give you the biblical truth. And here we go. Here is an absolute, here's proof of this right here. ChatGPT generates a fake Bible passage about Jesus accepting trans people. Let's look at this article. According to the ChristianPost.com, a fake Bible passage reportedly generated by ChatGPT about how Jesus accepts trans-identified individuals has generated responses from Christian scholars, as some media outlets have touted the passage as an example of much-needed tolerance. In July, one Reddit poster who was feeling sad shared a fake biblical passage that he asked ChatGPT to generate about Jesus accepting trans people. So in other words, I guess we can just, whatever we want this Jesus, this AI Jesus to say, or ChatGPT regarding the gospel, we can just change it at will. The quote posted in the r/trans channel by user psychological_dog527 sounded eerily like a legitimate Bible verse, even going as far as to echo the cadence of the gospel writers. Here is what it actually said, the ChatGPT quote, and a woman whose heart was divided between spirit and body came before him, Jesus. In quiet despair, she asked, Lord, I come to you estranged, for my spirit and body are not one. How shall I hope to enter the kingdom of God? Again, this is a fake passage. And here's what it went on to say, that, quote, Jesus looked upon her with kindness, replying, quote, my child, blessed are those who strive for unity within themselves. There's a massive red flag right there. Strive for unity within themselves. That's straight up New Age garbage. Quote, for they shall know the deepest truths of my Father's creation. Be not afraid, for in the kingdom of God, there is no man nor woman, as all are one in spirit. The gates of my Father's kingdom will open for those who love and are loved, for God looks not upon the body, but the heart. And again, you know what's really sad about that? You know how many so-called Christians actually quote that stuff? Not so much that fake passage, but they say things in that generality. The progressive Christians preach that message. They have created their own churches that believe that. So they could easily make a Bible. Oh, that's right. They're already making a Bible like that. But the reality is, it's 1 Timothy 4, verse 1 and 2. That says, the Spirit expressly says, in the latter days, some shall depart from the faith and give heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. Listen, I don't care if a computer program made this quote or this passage that blasphemed the Lord. That's absolute blasphemy. It blasphemed the Lord. And it's a doctrine of demons. And then we have, again, the insanity continues. Then we have record companies that are signing record deals with AI stars. One of them drew great backlash recently when they signed, Warner Music signed a record deal with a creepy AI pop star with the body of a 12-year-old. According to the report, Warner Music faced backlash over sexualizing its newest artist, which is a creepy artificial intelligence generated pop star named, and I'm probably going to slaughter this, Noon Oruri. I believe that's how you pronounce that. Trust me, never heard of it. Will never listen to it. Anyway, they want to make a 12-year-old look sexy. The record label made history by signing the first AI musician and releasing a debut single, Dominoes. And of course, this won't be the last time that this happens. Trust me, I guarantee you this is going to be, again, normal. The virtual influencer was created in 2018 by 43-year-old German graphic designer Jorg Zuber, who conceived Noonori, I believe that's how you pronounce it, as a 19-year-old metaverse avatar. But again, let me scroll down here. Here is this AI character that many are slamming the label company for sexualizing a character that looks like a little girl. Hey, how about pilotless airplanes in the future? Commercial airlines. This plane makers are looking to create pilotless future. This report by Politico says that manufacturers are actively developing and testing a host of autonomous flight projects, including commercial uses. Now, could you imagine? Listen, at the broadcast of this message, I will already have flown. I'm in Virginia. I'm in the state of Virginia at the time of this recording on this Friday night, September 15th. There is no way I'm getting on a commercial airline with no pilot and put my trust in artificial intelligence to fly this plane. Not going to happen. I don't know. Maybe you're comfortable with that. I won't even get behind one of these driverless vehicles to drive me around. Again, it's going to be really hard, guys, if the Lord tarries, to adapt to this new society. Now, speaking of, imagine your child's classroom in the next 25 years being completely replaced by computer-simulated 3D worlds. According to this report by the U.S. Sun, experts have warned that classrooms will completely be replaced by computer-simulated 3D worlds within the next 25 years. A research commissioned by GoStudent has predicted how will Brit pupils be taught in two decades. The virtual environments will enable paleontology students to walk among dinosaurs in the wild, marine students, scholars to observe ocean life underwater, and astronomy classes to be hosted on board a starship. DNA testing will predict subjects that students are likely to excel in, enabling teachers to focus on their strengths from an early age. Oh, doesn't it sound wonderful? Brain-computer technology will be used to continually monitor mental and emotional well-being, identifying imminent signs of student burnout or stress. Classes are also likely to be more skill-based rather than age-related, increasing the rate of educational progress. And here it is, AI technology will provide instant in-person translation, meaning students of many different nationalities can all learn together. The predictions were made in a white paper written by Tracy Follows, one of the world's top female futurists and visiting professor of digital futures and identity. She commissioned by EdTech providers, GoStudent, the report, quote, "The end of school as you know it, education in 2050, highlights the integral role tech will play in the future of education. With the rapid progressions in technology, we are on the brink of a technological explosion that will change how the entire world operates. By looking ahead to 2050, we can get a glimpse of what is to come. And the results are, and I quote, fascinating." All right. Have you guys ever heard of a police state? Of course you have. You're followers of End Time Headlines. You better have heard of a police state. Well, look at this. Insider.com. Look at this article. New York City police have spent millions on a tech company that claims it can use AI to monitor social media and predict future criminals.
New York City officials there unveiling three new high-tech devices, including one nicknamed DigiDog, which Mayor Eric Adams says will be used in risky situations like hostage standoffs. Correspondent Sloan Glass is live in New York. Sloan, you are getting a close-up look at this new technology.
Nicole, let me introduce you to K5. We are getting a private look at K5 along with other technologies introduced by the NYPD. Now, don't expect to see a bunch of these guys roaming around the city anytime soon. When the pilot program begins this summer, there will just be one K5, but he won't be alone. DigiDog has been reenlisted.
DigiDog is out of the pound.
A cute name for a surveillance machine. When DigiDog was first seen in the city in 2020, there was a public backlash. Some seen it as dehumanizing and militaristic. Critics of the program already voicing their concerns.
I just don't think at a time when we're cutting money for the public libraries, when we're cutting money for vital services, that we need to be spending close to $1 million on this sort of unproven tech.
Well, what does that say? What is the priority of the cities in America?
The NYPD says DigiDog will only be used in highly dangerous situations like terrorism, bomb threats, and hostage standoffs, and can only be deployed at the direction of the chief of police.
And I'm sure it could never fall into the wrong hands, right?
Send our officers in there. The danger that's created for the officers and the suspect, you know, we can't measure that. But with a DigiDog, it's going to de-escalate. It's going to give us additional time to work. And then we can make a better plan. We can do a better assessment and get the right resources to help the person.
Similar technologies have been used before in other cities. In San Francisco, a vote allowing police to use remote-operated robots armed with lethal explosives was killed.
No killer robots! No killer robots!
Unlike the versions attempted in other cities, DigiDog will be unarmed. Like all law enforcement, DigiDog will always have a partner, remotely controlled by trained response unit officers. And then there is K5. A 5-foot, 400-pound autonomous security robot that will soon be patrolling Times Square and the subway.
The K-5 uses artificial intelligence to provide real-time incident notifications to first responders.
Instant notifications to responders.
And another high-tech tool introduced, the Star Chase system. A device that police officers can use to shoot GPS-enabled trackers onto fleeing vehicles, allowing them to back off on high-speed chases and still track their suspect every step of the way.
I'm going to give you a little bit more detail of this that the video kind of left out. Of course they did, right? Because, I mean, they're not going to release the fine print of this. I want to go to Insider. Look what it says here. Voyager Labs, which, again, this is part of the AI technology they're using and implementing and deploying this in the streets of New York, has also claimed its AI can, look at this, assign risk scores to social media users regarding their ties to or affinity for Islamic fundamentalism or extremism. Let me say that again. The Voyager Labs, now they're using an example here. Ladies and gentlemen, if you think for a moment that this is not going to come back to bite us in the end, then you are naive. Again, this technology, this AI, assigns risk scores to social media users regarding their ties or affinity for certain fundamentalistic views and extremism. Kind of like what they did. Listen, the January 6th thing was a prelude to that. Every individual that was there involved, even if you were in the location and you had nothing to do with it, they know that you were there. They know from your social media presence. They know from artificial intelligence. They know from the security cameras. They know from satellites in space. They know that you were there. They know every one of us, every single one of us, including yours truly, is on a database system. And we are all flagged if you believe things that they deem to be extremism or radical or a threat to society. All right, let me read this. Another one of their products, Voyager Check. Look what it says. Quote, provides an automated indication of individuals who may pose a risk. So if you may pose a risk, if your social media poses a risk or you pose a risk, again, guys, I don't see anything good coming out of this. All right, now we're going to get to the last story. I know that many of you guys have been chomping at the bit for this one. And I don't know how to respond to this, honestly, as far as my emotions. I almost want to laugh because the images I'm about to show you look ridiculous and cartoonish. They remind me of a popular 1980s movie that came out called E.T. Alien bodies with three-fingered hands and unknown DNA and eggs inside were recently presented by UFO expert at a Mexican Congress with the, quote, non-humans found in Peru that are said to be 1,000 years old. Quote, according to Daily Mail, this is the moment a UFO investigator presented two allegedly non-human bodies to a Congress full of astonished officials. James Mawson, I believe that's how you pronounce it, who has led investigations into alien phenomena for decades, stood with scientists to unveil two corpses and what he called a, quote, watershed event in front of the Mexican Congress this week. The researchers made the extraordinary claim that the corpses presented in windowed boxes, and we'll show you that in just a second, and supposedly recovered from Cusco in Peru, were not part of our, quote, terrestrial evolution, with 30% of their genetic composition still unknown, according to Mexican media. Carbon dating by the National Autonomous University of Mexico found the bodies pictured with three-fingered hands, no teeth, and stereoscopic vision, where they were more than 1,000 years of age. The bizarre presentation has triggered a frenzy of excitement among conspiracy theorists online, but it also has drawn skepticism. Usually for fossils that have been subjected to analysis, the specimens were coated in what appeared to be sand, but Mawson, who has been associated with debunked alien theories in the past, insisted under oath, that's interesting, that these specimens are not part of our terrestrial evolution. These are beings that were found after a UFO wreckage. They were found in algae mines and were later fossilized. He went on later and added, whether they are aliens or not, we don't know. And here's the, you're looking at the video right here on your screen, but they were intelligent and they lived with us. They should rewrite history. But the thing is, nobody's taking this seriously, guys. I mean, seriously, look at that. It literally looks like they took the replica, the sculpture, the prop of E.T. and they just put a bunch of sand around it and some kind of a casing and put it in these boxes. I'm just saying. Quote, we are not alone in this vast universe. We should embrace this reality, he said at the event. And here's another picture of it on your screen if you're watching the visual of this. If not, you can go again to the Daily Mail. It's all over the place. Just search for it. It's there. The mummified bodies were presented by photojournalists and deputies at Mexican Congress. Here's a close-up of this thing. Again, I mean, seriously, guys, does this not look like what we're looking at here? Look at this. This looks like E.T. Same frame, same long neck, same eyes, same picture. Everything is what we're seeing. I mean, it's a little bit of a similarity or a little bit of a difference, but the similarities are uncanny. Again, here's the three-fingered hands. And again, here's the three-fingered hands that they say that these beings have. Here's another close-up picture of the frame of this thing. Now, this also comes As NASA, at the recording of this, is set to publish a long-awaited UFO report. NASA is set to release on Thursday the findings of a long-awaited study on unexplained flying objects in Earth's skies. The U.S. Space Agency announced last year it was reviewing evidence regarding unidentified anomalous phenomena, or UAPs. This is what they call them now. We know them as UFOs if you're old school like me. The subject has long fascinated the public, but was shunned by mainstream science. However, an independent team of 16 researchers shared their preliminary observations in May, finding that existing data and eyewitness reports are insufficient to draw firm conclusions while calling for systematic collection of high-quality data. So again, it'll be interesting what this report entails when it does come out. Now you say, well, Brother Ricky, what if these are real beings? It doesn't shake my faith. Again, guys, it doesn't bother me because we did a whole video on this right here on your screen over here to your left where it says, what if they really are beings and crafts of unearthly origin? We did a whole video on this. If you want to, you want my view on this? Go watch this video. It's in our podcast archives here. It's on our app. It's on YouTube. I believe it's on Rumble. You can go and listen to this again to give you the cliff notes, a quick synopsis of this. I'm going to tell you right now that if these are actual physical beings that they call, quote, aliens, they are nothing more than fallen angels, Nephilims. And that's what these things are. It doesn't shake my faith. They're not alien green. You know, they're not these extraterrestrial beings. That's what the world calls them. We call them fallen angels. And I believe this is all preparing society for the great delusion, the great deception. Again, I talk way more details about that on that video, on that podcast that we did. So listen, Endtime Headlines, guys. .org right there above you. That's going to be our main website. Please bookmark our site. That's where you're going to find all of our articles. Of course, the best way is download our free app. It's available on Apple, Android devices. Hit that push notification button and you're going to be notified. It's going to come right in your hands, on your tablets, on your phones, right there where you can keep up with our ministry. So please do that today. And of course, guys, if this ministry is a blessing to you, it encourages you, it equips you, it informs you on a week-to-week basis, please pray about becoming a monthly partner. This is how we're able to continue to maintain to do what we do on a week-to-week basis is through partnerships like yours. And you can do that. You can pray about that. If you'd like to know more about that, you can go to our main website, endtimeheadlines.org, endtimeheadlines.com. You can click on support the ministry right there. You can go to our app. If you have the app, go down to where it says donate, click on it. Either way, it's going to bring you to an electronic page. When you get to that page, you're going to see different ways to give electronically through PayPal, through credit card, through Venmo, through Cash App, whatever you feel comfortable doing. You can do that. Pray about that. Again, you can also give by check or money order. You can make it out to End Time Headlines right there on the screen, P.O. Box 1391. That's going to be Monroe, Georgia 30655. So as always, guys, we want to thank you so much. And again, all you guys that send cards, you give online, you leave the little letters and the cards. We read every single one of them. You leave prayer requests. They're all, we don't send donor letters out to people. We don't haggle you for giving. We don't do that. We don't sell merchandise. We don't do any of that. We just ask that you pray about partnering with us. I believe that if you're blessed by our ministry, you will want to give. You'll give generously, as Paul the Apostle talked about in the New Testament. So again, I just want you to know, we read every letter. We see every email, every message, every one of them. And we are so grateful for you guys. And we love you as partners. You guys are family to us. We appreciate your prayers, your generous support, and your partnership of our ministry. Want to give you this quick announcement. Please don't check out, because if you miss this, then you're going to want to know where we are Monday, because we are going to be off Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. The reason why is I'll be out of town. I'm in Virginia with some family. It's my mother-in-law's birthday. We're spending time with her. And we will be back next week, back in the studio on Tuesday. Again, next week, Tuesday. We'll be here Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday next week for some great programs, great segments. So again, we'll be off Saturday, Sunday, and Monday this week. Be back in the studio next Tuesday. So until then, may the Lord bless you, may He keep you, and may His countenance shine upon you. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.